I'm going to be thinking of that all day. Well, as most all of you know, I love music, and I get to lead the worship every Sunday morning up here. I love to sing, love to play the guitar. I love music, and today we're going to talk a little bit about the guitar and how it relates to our Christian walk. The guitar is pretty simple. It's just a wooden box with a neck and strings. And for the guitar to make sound, those strings have to be pulled pretty tightly across the body of the guitar, across the neck, so that when I strum them and pluck them, they vibrate. It's a lot like a rubber band. And you shouldn't play with rubber bands in church, but a rubber band, if it's loose, it kind of sounds like that. But you pull it tighter, and it sounds like that. Same thing with the guitar, except that those are steel strings on this guitar. And when you pull steel strings tightly across the body of the guitar and across the neck of the guitar, it puts a lot of tension on this guitar. Now, if you're a guitar player, you can't answer this question. So I'm going to ask everybody else first. Anybody want to guess how much tension is being placed on the neck of this guitar right now? What do you think? Lots? Yeah. It's about 180 to 200 pounds of tension that are being pulled from the bridge of the guitar down here on the body all the way up to the headstock across this neck. That's a lot of tension. 180 to 200 pounds are being pulled across that guitar, and it puts a lot of tension on the guitar. So keep that in mind, and the guitar can be tricky at times because of all that tension, it can make it at times hard to play. And I was thinking about our lives, as believers, even if for unbelievers, there's a lot of tension in life. There's a lot of trials. There's a lot of struggles. There's a lot of things we go through where we face tension. Now, on that guitar, when those strings are pulled that tightly, the neck of the guitar needs to stay straight in order for you to make sound. And the tendency on a guitar neck is for the neck to want to fold in on itself, to kind of collapse. And that's also true, I think, in our lives as people, as Christians. When tension comes, it's easy to sometimes want to just fold in on ourselves. When worry and stress and all those things come at us, that's the natural tendency in our lives, is just to kind of fold in on ourselves. Last Sunday, I got to go to a visitation. And after the morning service, we had our board meeting, and then I drove to Albia. I was thinking about this idea of tension. A girl that I grew up with in the little town of La Villa, we were best friends all the way through school, all the way through high school. She and her husband have four children. Their 17-year-old son, a couple of weeks ago, committed suicide. And I had to go back to this visitation, and I thought, I can't imagine anything more difficult than that. And they're believers, and I knew that going in, but I thought, what am I going to say to this girl? And I went to the church for the visitation, and I was just amazed. She had just a complete peace. She was completely at peace and knew that her son was with Jesus, and I thought, wow, talk about tension. Talk about, wanting to fold in on yourself with that kind of tension. But she knew the Lord and the whole family, they're believers, and I thought, wow, what a great testimony, just that you could go through something like that. Well, on a guitar, the solution to try to counter all that tension through the neck, this is the neck of the guitar right here, by the way, and this is the body, this is the sound hole, but running through the neck of this guitar is a metal rod, and it's called a truss rod. That's T-R-U-S-S, and that truss rod has one purpose, and that purpose is to keep the guitar neck straight, to keep it from twisting and bending and warping, and again, wanting to bend in on itself. So for this guitar, right inside the sound hole, there you can see the end of that little rod. And I take an Allen wrench, and I can adjust that truss rod a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, and it will take the bow out of the neck, it'll keep it straight. And the whole purpose of that truss rod is to allow that guitar to stay straight and allow it to produce sound and to fulfill the purpose that was intended for it. And again, I thought about us as believers. What do we do when the tension comes, when the stress comes, when we're going through difficult times? What do we do? We don't have a truss rod, that runs through our spine, thank goodness. I mean, some of you might if you've had back surgery, but for us, our truss rod as believers is simply to trust God. And we need to trust Him completely, to trust Him at all times. So I wanted to kind of compare that truss rod with the idea of trusting God today. And that is the title of our sermon, Truss Rod, trust God. Now, one thing I said that can affect the guitar neck is just the tension of those strings. 180 to 200 pounds are pulling on that guitar neck at any one given time. But there are other things that can affect that neck. Things like temperature changes. You know, Iowa, I love Iowa. We have all four seasons, but Iowa is a terrible place for guitars at times because we can get excessively high temperatures and really cold temperatures and everything in between. That can make that guitar just move all the time. So it's a challenge to keep that neck straight. The other thing is humidity. Humidity is a wonderful thing in the state of Iowa, right? When you get all hot and sweaty outside. But for a wooden instrument made of wood, it's also tough because that guitar wants to shift and move a lot. So that truss rod is very, very important. It keeps that guitar straight. And so I wanted to look at that idea of in our lives. In order for us to be on the straight path, we need to trust God and trust Him completely. We're going to look at probably one of the most well-known scriptures about trusting God, and that is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. So would you please turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 3, and when you find your place, would you please stand with me as I read? I know a lot of you probably could just quote this from memory. This is one of those scriptures that a lot of you probably already have memorized. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says this: Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Thank you. You may be seated. One of my favorite scriptures. I was talking to someone this morning out in the hall that said that was one of his favorite scriptures too. Trust in the Lord. So we're going to look at this really familiar scripture today, and I've really broken it down into four points. We're going to see that in this scripture we have three commands, and then we have one promise. And on the back of your bulletin, I have some sermon notes there if you'd like to follow along and fill them in as we go. But our first command is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. First, let's define that word trust. Trust is the firm belief in the reliability of someone or something. Trust is the firm belief in the reliability of someone or something. Now, I want you to think about someone in your life right now. Who is the one person you trust more than anybody else? You don't have to say it necessarily, but think about a person that you would say, I really trust this person. I trust them completely. Now, think about what are the things that make you trust that person? What makes somebody trustworthy? This time you can shout out an example or two of what makes that person you're thinking of trustworthy. Anybody got an idea? What's that? His actions, okay? Anything else? One at a time now. No, I'm sorry. That's that teacher coming out in me. It's this section. Consistent. That's good. Honest. Wise. Yeah, great. You know, I think of the person when I think of that's trustworthy, I think, okay, it's a person that they never let me down. They're always there. I can depend on them. Now this time, think about something in this life that you trust. Something in this life that you trust. And, you know, a good example is this morning when I got in my car to come to the church, I didn't think for a minute that the car wouldn't start because it's always started for me. I just trusted that, hey, my car is going to get me to work. And I looked around and noticed that you guys all just sat. None of you walked up and shook that pew or tested it. You trusted that it was going to hold your weight when you sat down, right? You know, and for the most part, we're pretty trusting people. We trust people. We trust things all the time. But this command is very specific. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord. Now remember, it's a command. Now, I think that that's important to note because these are commands because sometimes we forget to do these things. Sometimes we don't always trust in the Lord. I know it sounds, well, of course we trust in the Lord. We're Christians. We always trust God. And I would say for a lot of us, that's true when things are going well. You know, when there's money in the bank account, when everybody's healthy, when the job is secure, when everything's good, it's easy to trust God. But sometimes it's tough to trust God when things aren't going well. You know, when you can't pay the bills, or when you lose the job, or when you lose a loved one, it's harder to trust God. So I thought about why is it sometimes hard for us to trust God? And really, it shouldn't be. When you think about God, by His very nature, He's trustworthy, right? You know, you think about a person that you trust. Well, we can trust God so much more. You know, God is, he's unchanging. He's unfailing. He's always with us. He said he'd never leave us. Those are reasons why we can trust him. The verse that I thought of when I was at the visitation last week for the son of my friend was Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2. It says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. I like that. We can trust God because the Bible says he is ever-present. He's an ever-present help in trouble. That means it doesn't matter what the trouble or the trial you're going through right now, God is there. He's ever-present. We also can trust God because the Bible tells us he cares for us. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I would imagine when you thought about the person that you trust in this life, you probably could say you know that person cares about you. And how much more with God? He cares for us. The Bible tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means we can count on him. He's not going to change. Hebrews 13:5, God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. Those are pretty great reasons that we have to trust in God. You know, on this idea of trusting in the Lord, I thought about the fact that we can trust God completely because God is completely trustworthy. Right? People are going to let you down at times, even people that you trust. Things are going to let you down, but God never will. God is completely trustworthy. Not only does it say trust in the Lord, it says trust in the Lord with all your heart. What's all mean? Everything. Trust in the Lord with everything, with all your heart. Now, I want to point out what that verse does not say. It does say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It does not say, trust your heart. It does not say, trust in yourself. Those are very different things. And a lot of times, people, and even Christians, very well-meaning, might just say, you know, if you're going through a trial or a struggle, well, just trust your heart. Trust yourself. No, don't do that. Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Don't trust your heart. The Bible tells us that our hearts are deceitful. Proverbs 28:26 says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. So we cannot trust in ourselves and trust in our own heart. We got to trust in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I think really this first command kind of really gets down to the core of Christian living, and that is, do you trust God completely? Do you trust him no matter what, in every situation, every day? Do you trust him? Like I said, it's easy to trust God when things are going well, right? When everybody's healthy and happy and there's money in the bank, it's easy to say, I trust God. But it can be tough when things aren't going so well. You know, when you lose the job, or when you lose a spouse or a loved one, or fill in the blank, it's tough sometimes to trust God. The alternative, though, is, like I said, to trust in ourselves or to lean on our own understanding. And that brings us to the second command. The first one is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Number two, do not rely on your own understanding, or do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That one, I have to admit, sometimes is tough for me. You know? You know, as a Christian, it's easy to say, well, wait a minute, didn't God give me a brain? Yeah. Didn't God give me certain talents and abilities? I mean, obviously, he wants me to use my brain. He wants me to use my understanding, right? That would make sense. But why shouldn't I rely on my own understanding? Well, the easy answer is because of sin. When sin entered the world, it affected everything, including our minds. We now have a sinful nature, and we cannot trust our own understanding. We cannot trust our own hearts. We already saw that the person who trusts in their own heart is a fool. So if you're not going to lean on your own understanding, the obvious question is, well, then what understanding do we lean on? And the answer is God's understanding. We lean on the Word of God. That's where we lean, on his understanding. Our understanding is sinful at times, but God's is perfect. So if we're to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, then we have to trust his word in all things. You know, I've often thought that to be a Christian means that we better know the Word of God. And if we don't know the Word of God, it's kind of proof that we're really not trusting in God. Oftentimes we're trusting in ourselves. So we need to be in the Word all the time. And the only way to know God's understanding is to know the Word, to be in the Word of God as much as you possibly can. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is in John 17. If you would turn over there, please, to John 17. I want to show you something that kind of proves why we need to trust in God's understanding and not our own. In John 17, this really is the Lord's Prayer. Now, I know you're going to say, wait a minute, doesn't the Lord's Prayer say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name? Well, that technically is the disciples' prayer. Remember, the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. And that's the prayer he gave them. But this in John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. This is really one of his last prayers right before he goes to the cross and he dies for the sins of the world. I want you to listen to what Jesus says in John 17, verses 13 through 17. He says, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. I love that. God's word is truth. And that's the only truth we need. We need to rely on His understanding, on His truth. Now, you know, I'm not saying that we should never use our minds, because again, God did give you a mind. He gave you certain talents and abilities, but you need to make sure any decisions that you come by, that you compare it to the Word of God. Because I can guarantee if you come to some conclusion on some decision to make that's contrary to the Word of God, then you're wrong, because God's Word is truth. So we need to make sure we are in the truth as much as we possibly can be. You know, I remember one of the first memory verses I memorized as a little guy, and probably a lot of you grew up memorizing Scripture, was Psalm 119, 105, which says, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. It's also a song. Your word is a lamp and a light. And I thought about that. Well, why do we need lamps and lights? Well, we need that to dispel the darkness. And you think about the world that we live in, this is a pretty dark world we live in. We need God's Word now more than ever. But it's not enough just to be in the Word and to read the Word. You got to obey the Word. I think a lot of times as Christians, our fault is often that we know Scripture, we know the Bible, but we don't always obey it. And that was true, I think, of the Israelites in the Old Testament. You know, they walked with God. They walked with Moses, right? The lawgiver who recorded the word. It wasn't that they didn't know the word of God. They just didn't obey the word of God. 1 Samuel 15:22 says this, Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. I think the real key is obedience. We can say we trust God. We might even read His Word, but if we don't obey Him and obey His Word, we really don't trust God. Obedience is better. D.L. Moody once said this, and I think this is great. He said, The blood alone makes us safe. The Word alone makes us sure. But obedience alone makes us happy. I like that. We got to make sure we are obeying God's Word. So you cannot lean on your own understanding. We should only lean on God's Word. That first command, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Number two, do not rely on your own understanding. And number three, think about Him in all your ways. I appreciated what David said this morning, the idea of we ought to be thinking about God all through the day. We ought to be looking for opportunities to share what God has done in our lives. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. So the question is, how often do you think about God? How often do you think about God? You know, for some people it might be, oh, Saturday night, got to go to church tomorrow, got to set my alarm a little bit earlier, got to go to church. And then maybe we don't think about Him much during the week. How often do you talk to God throughout the day? We ought to be thinking about Him all the time, talking to Him all the time, reading His Word, sharing His Word. And I think for most of us, we have really good intentions to spend time in God's Word, to spend time in prayer. But then, you know, life happens. We get so busy. We're in a day and age where we're multitasking, doing all these things at once. And before you know it, we forget. We forget to take time to be with God. I'm amazed, you know, you think about the technology that we have nowadays, and it's pretty amazing. Technology really was supposed to make our lives easier and free up our time. And yet, today, in this technological age we live, most people are busier than ever. They're just so busy. They don't have time for the things of God. I want you to listen to what Charles Spurgeon wrote. And Charles Spurgeon was a pastor in the 1800s. And if this was true then, think about it right now. Spurgeon said, "If you are very busy, think and pray all the more, or your work will wear and weary you and drag you away from God." I thought that was pretty profound. If you are very busy, then you ought to be thinking about God more and more, or you're going to just get drug away from God with all the things in this life. So think about Him in all your ways. Again, that's a command. And it's a command because we have a tendency to not think about God as much as we should. We think about ourselves. We think about our agenda. So we need to spend time thinking about Him. So the question is, okay, how do we do that? Practically speaking, since everybody's busy, I know, a lot of you have your hands on all kinds of different things. How do you practically do this? How do you think about Him in all your ways? Well, let's turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, another one of my favorite portions of Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is right before the Israelites are about to enter the promised land. And God gives them, I think, some very practical advice that we would do pretty well to heed also this morning. So I'd like to read Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 9, and see if we can find some real practical ways that we can think about Him in all of our ways. Here's what it says in Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9. "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all His decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses, and on your gates." Now, I want to look specifically at verses 7 through 9 because I think it gives us some really practical things that we can do today. The first one there is, speaking of God's word, His commands, it says, impress them on your children. Now, as a parent, and many of you as parents and grandparents, that's a challenge. That's convicting. How often do you do that? Are you impressing God's word on your kids and on your grandkids? Are you taking every opportunity you can to share the word of God with them? You know, time goes by so quickly. I remember when my kids were little, and I'm going to have two in college here in another month or so. And it's like, wow, it goes by so fast. But we need to impress God's word on our kids. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, it says, talk about them. Talk about God's word, His commands. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Now, to me, that covers pretty much every moment of the day. When you rise up, talk about God's word. When you walk along the road, talk about God's word. When you sit down, talk about God's word. When you lie down to go to bed, talk about God's word. Every minute of every day, we ought to be finding opportunities to share God's word, to share our testimony, to talk about it. And, you know, it's not as hard as you might think. You might say, oh, I can't do that in my job. I'm a public school teacher, and I know I'm not supposed to share God's word, but I have opportunities to share God's word with kids in different ways. You can do that. You can share the Word of God. It ought to be on our minds all the time, and it ought to be in our hearts. If we say we love the Lord, if we trust God, then we ought to be sharing His Word. We ought to be thinking about Him in all of our ways. There's two practical things that the Israelites did that to us kind of seem crazy today, but in Deuteronomy 6, verse 8, it says, tie them, again, it's talking about God's word, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Now, we don't do this today, but the Israelites had what were called phylacteries. And a phylactery was a small leather box that had scripture in it that they would strap on their arms or on their foreheads. Now imagine that. They would walk around with a scripture box on their arm or on their forehead. And you might think, well, what's the practical point for us today? Well, they didn't have Bibles back then like we have today. For us, it'd be very similar to taking God's word everywhere you go, carrying your Bible with you. You know, and if you don't carry your Bible, I bet you all have smartphones, or a lot of you do, and most of us have Bible apps on our phones. We should take God's word with us everywhere. It's a practical way. You know, think about, is there a Bible at your workplace? Is there a Bible by your bedside table? Is there a Bible in your car? You should always have it handy and ready to share with others. The second thing they did was in Deuteronomy 6, verse 9, it says, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This is another thing the Jewish people did. They had what was called a mezuzah. And a mezuzah was a small case or a small cylinder that they would put God's word in, and they would attach it to their door frames. So when they walked in their house every day, they would reach up and touch the mezuzah. And it was just a constant reminder that God's word is important in this house, that it's going to rule this house. You know, it's kind of like for us today, it'd be kind of like putting the memory verse on the refrigerator door. You know, I know when I was growing up, we always had Bible verses on the refrigerator. And every time you open the refrigerator, oh, I'd see a scripture verse. We ought to be memorizing God's word. It ought to be that important to us. Carry it with us. Be ready to share it at any given moment. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Think about him in all your ways. That means that we ought to be thinking about God throughout the day, every chance we get. It shouldn't just be, well, I woke up early and I read for 5 minutes, I said a prayer, and I'm good till tomorrow. No, we ought to be thinking about God all day long, throughout the day, whenever we can. In every decision we make, we ought to think, okay, is this going to glorify God? Is this decision going to further his kingdom, or is it just going to, you know, promote my own agenda? Philippians 4:8 says this, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And to me, that's a challenge, because I think, okay, what do I think about during the day? Are there things that I'm thinking about that aren't excellent or aren't praiseworthy or aren't pure? Yeah, sometimes that's true. And it's a conscious reminder that we ought to be thinking about those things that are going to glorify God. So think about him in all your ways. So we've looked at the three commands. Number one, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Number two, do not rely on your own understanding. And number three, think about him in all your ways. And now we come to the promise. Now, remember, those three commands we have to keep if we're going to claim this promise also. The verse says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That's the promise. Number four, he will guide you in the right paths. He will make your paths straight. That Hebrew word for straight literally means to be level, upright, or just, to be level. And we have that promise that if we trust God with all of our heart, if we don't rely on our own understanding, if we think about him in all of our ways, then he will make our paths straight. I love that. Now, by contrast, if you don't trust God with all your heart, and if you don't rely on him and instead rely on yourself, if you don't think about him, then he's not going to make your path straight. Now, do you think that you know what's best for you and you can make your own path, or do you want to trust God to do that for you? I know for me, I want to be on that right path. I don't want to be on the wrong path. Now, I'm not saying that if you follow all these commands, your path's going to be perfectly straight with no worries. I'm not saying that. I know there are some preachers today that say, yep, God wants to make you healthy and wealthy and happy, and you're never going to have any trials. That's not true. We are going to have struggles. We're going to have tension. We're going to have hard times. But I guarantee if you follow those commands, the path you're on is going to be the right path. You might not think it's right at the time, but it is the right path. Whenever I read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, especially that last part about he will make your path straight, I always think about Psalm 23. I know a lot of you know Psalm 23. I want you to listen and see the relationship here between he will make your path straight. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I love that last part of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "He will make your path straight." And in Psalm 23 it says, "He guides me in paths of righteousness." I want to be on the path of righteousness. I don't know about you, but I want to be on that path. And I know that the times in my life when I don't trust myself, or when I do trust in myself and I'm not trusting in God, very quickly I find myself on that wrong path. It's so important to trust God. You know, as we kind of conclude today, I know that oftentimes the Christian life is not easy. We all know that. We're all going to have trials. We're all going to have tensions, just like that guitar neck feeling all that tension. We have tensions, and we have an opportunity to trust God or not. Someone once said this. I think it's pretty true. The Christian life isn't easy, but it's always simple. And at first I heard that and I was like, I beg to differ. But you think about it. Christian life is not easy, but it's always simple. It's simple in that we walk by faith and we walk in obedience. It's basically taking God at his word, trusting God, believing him, doing what he says, and then allowing him to direct our paths. It's very simple. It's just not always easy to put into action because oftentimes we think we know better, right? We think we have a better plan. Every problem we face is an opportunity to trust. Every problem is an opportunity to obey or not obey. Am I going to trust God or am I going to trust myself? Am I going to lean on my own understanding or am I going to lean on God's understanding? As I began this morning, you know, we talked about that truss rod and how its sole purpose is to protect that guitar and keep the neck straight. If that neck is not straight, that guitar is not going to play very well. It's not going to fulfill the purpose that it was intended to do. For us in this life, our truss rod is just to trust God and trust him completely. We need to trust him with everything that we are. You know, I thought about, I don't know what everybody's tensions are right now. You know, I know you may be going through things that I know nothing about, things that you might say, yeah, but you're not going through this. I don't know all of the tensions you're going through, but I do know that God is not threatened by any of our tensions. He's bigger than all of the tensions we're going through. We just need to trust him and trust him completely. We need to lean on the word of God and obey it, and we need to think about him all through the day, all throughout the day. And if we do that, he is going to guide our paths. He's going to direct our paths. So I guess the question is, do you trust him today? Do you trust him completely? What will you trust him with this week? And what will you try to, you know, trust yourself in and do yourself? We need to trust God. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's pray this morning.